Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is your friend, the Last Nighter, again, speaking from the sort of brokish little theater at Hard Times on the Hudson, just across the river from Putting It on the Cuff. And that, incidentally, is a great trick if you can do it. Speaking of tricks, you'll find your bridge game is vastly improved if you fiddle around a bit with some good adhesive candy, such as caramels or taffy while you're dealing. Sort of keeps the cards from skidding, you might say. That is, you might say it if I hadn't already said it. If you said it now, it wouldn't sound very original, would it? I don't want you to feel all broken up over it, though. You know, I always say that if
all
the guy...
All right, brain trust. Ease over. What about the drama you so glibly promised?
Glibly promised? Did I say that? My, glibly promised. That sounds like the main character in an English novel, if you read English. I'm a full-blooded American myself, born and bred in Greenfield, Wisconsin. Dear old Greenfield. Why, on a clear day, you could not only see Catalina, but you could hear the mating calls of our little feathered friends as well. Would you like to hear a few bird calls, Annie?
No tricks now.
Well, that was my intention. Why, in my acrobatic days, I used to be able to do handstands, nip-ups, and a whirling dervish on the point of a pencil.
Is that so? Is that how you got that scar on the bridge of your nose?
Is that how I got that what on the which of my who?
All right, let your hair down, twerp. How'd you get that scar on the bridge of your nose?
Oh, that. I got that drinking beer out of a fruit jar. Any other questions? If not, we better let Jimmy Greer and his rhythm rascals get on with the overture. They're all standing here, panting, pouting, and ready to pounce on the first defenseless quarter note they see. Ladies and gentlemen, Jimmy and the rhythm rascals about to convince you with a few well-chosen words that rhythm is our business. Start the convincing, James.
Rhythm is our business. Rhythm is what we sell. The words and tune don't matter all. Rhythm is what we sell. The words and tune don't matter all. Business sure is swell. The words and tune don't matter all. Rhythm is what we sell.
Rhythm is also Jimmy's business.
Oh, we knew that already. It's old stuff.
Oh, very funny thing, though. He composes songs in bed.
You say he writes songs in bed? What sort of stuff does he write?
Oh, haven't you heard?
No.
Shit music.
Oh. When they swing it, it puts us in a trance. We not only like to sing it, we'd also like to dance.
Shall we dance, fellas?
Can we dance now? Yeah. Let's dance. Okay, let's dance.
Here I go. Hey! La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Hey!
Oh!
Ah,
oh,
Jack.
Bill Robinson.
Mother man.
Ha-ha! Watch your fuckers.
La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I tell you, fellas, that tune really haunts me.
You're right.
What'd you say, boys?
That tune really haunts us.
It should. Ha ha, you just murdered it.
Oh. Rhythm is our business. Business sure is well.
A very nice sales talk, Jimmy. However, I think you might have been just a wee bit more pianissimo. But then who am I to be saying thisimo? On the whole, it was sensational. In a small way, of course. Well, I'll take a dozen.
Wait a minute, dope. You'll take a dozen what?
What Jimmy was selling. Rhythm.
Yeah. Shall I wrap him up, or will he take him rhythm?
Will he take him rhythm? Look, twerp, give Oscar and Elmer a chance, will you?
Give him a chance? Certainly not. Their money is just as good as anyone else's. By the way, what are you selling chances on?
A brain for you, I hope. Come on, fellows, elbow in. If twerp butts in, just throw him an old college humor to munch on. Ladies and gentlemen, the Cheney County aristocrats, Oscar and Elmer.
Elmer, the man's ready. Doggone it, wake up. You ain't thinking fast like usual.
Listen, Oscar, I'm thinking so much faster than I can talk. I'm afraid if I try to keep up with myself, I'll blast and blow my teeth out.
Elmer, every time you get a letter from your gal teen back in Arkansas, you get all sad and silly. What's ailing you?
Oh, it's that blame crazy brother at the teens again. You know, the one who was always pitching them fits. Had a fit when he was born. He's got kind of slipped into the habit of it. Well, Tina's being nice to him because he ain't got good sense, and she took all them skunk skins she had hanging out in the barn, gave him to old silly Claude. He carried him into town, traded him for one of them far-shooting, high-powered Winchester rifles. Fetched it home, wouldn't give George no rest. George finally up and said he'd just got to go hunting with him. They went.
Bet he shot another game warden.
No. They jumped into Teen's old Chevrolet one cold morning about sun up and started over the ridge. George at the wheel and old silly Claude sitting beside him winking his shooting eye at every fence post. Just hog wild for that big game. You know, he ain't got no business shooting no far shooting gun like that. A good BB gun will shoot a lot further than he can see.
Yeah, he pretty near ruined that .22 he had a shooting too fur with it.
Yeah, well, he pretty near ruined his eyes trying to see what he's hitting with this gun. About noon, they skidded over the bank of Goose Creek and lit right in the middle of it, sitting there trying to figure out how to get out, and old Claude thought he heard a wildcat. He grabbed his far-shooting gun and started up the side of the mountain. George right after him. They went about 100 yards, a little old breeze come up and started one of them tumbling weeds down the mountain right at Claude. He thought it was a bear, and he started shooting and running. The more he shot, the faster it come. He was running lickety-split, as just fast as he could go, and stumbled over a rock, and the gun flew out of his hand, and he lit right smack on his face.
Folks like Claude ain't got no sense, is it?
Yeah. Sure is. Well, he was getting up ready to take off again. George caught up with him, showed him wasn't nothing to be scared of, and off they started for a big game again. They hadn't went over a quarter of a mile, and Claude thought he'd seen a big bunch of deer. He swung that doggone gun to his shoulder, drawed bead, and cut loose 6 times. And the gun barrel hadn't any more and cooled off, and somebody began yelling and a
Buzz another game warden, huh?
Yeah, Oscar, it was twice as worse as that. It was old Lum Thunderbird, and was he sore. He'd walked 40 miles over to Hiram Higgs' business and bought 6 mules. He was leading them home along the ridge route when Claude cut down on them. If them mules had been the deer, Claude had just killed 4 deer and crippled 2.
And here we are all on tippy-toe, ready to dash into our little drama of the evening, which is starting out in high hopes of being a sort of a musical fantasy. And that's getting into the subject at a pretty pace for us.
Hey, Tall and Toothless, hold still, will you? The script is jumping around your hand so I can hardly read it.
And that's the title of our first musical number.
What? Hop Goes My Part?
Hop Goes My Part. You're killing you, aren't you? But we've got to get back to our drama. We've got to dig in earnest.
Poor Ernest.
All right, none of that now. The idea of our drama tonight is one that I've been thinking about for a long time. You might call it a hangover from my schoolboy days.
Anyway, a hangover.
You don't seem to get the idea, and it may be just as well. Look, what I mean is I've always wanted to do a drama about travel, and this is a drama about travel as is travel, to be pretty modest and unassuming about the whole thing.
Wait a minute, my little startled spawn. Just what has your schoolboy days got to do with a drama about travel?
Well, in words of one syllable, so that even you won't be able to understand it, when I was in school, my favorite book was the one about the travels of Ulysses, the Greek hero. They call it the Odyssey. The Odyssey. Do you know what that is?
Sure, I know what the Odyssey is, but do you?
No, I don't know what... Wait a minute. Do I know what it is? I think you're getting your script a little mixed up here, aren't you? I'm the one who's telling you what the Odyssey is.
Never mind, smart guy. You know so much. Let's hear you use the word in a sentence.
Oh, so now we're doing words in a sentence gags, eh?
We'll find that out later. Go ahead, use Odyssey in a sentence.
Okay, I'm a ding-dong daddy from Dumas, and you ought to see me do my stuff. Some funny gaggy, eh, kid?
I can hardly wait for the snapper.
That's the way I feel about it, too. It certainly is a small world.
Get into the drama, twerp. Into the drama. Anything is better than your gag.
Well, maybe we had better do the drama. So with a willy-nilly, or I should say a William-nillium, to be formal. Anyhow, with a willy-nilly, whether or no, hi-ho, alack-a-day, and a triple tongue on the old cornet, and we're off.
We've been off for the last 2 pages.
How do you like that? I don't know. Sometimes I wish I was back on the farm. Yes, sir, back on the good old farm. Those were the happy days.
I wish I was back playing leapfrog.
Playing leapfrog?
Yeah, those were the hoppy days.
Well, you're a jump ahead of me. But no kidding, it was wonderful on the farm. I remember we had a beautiful cow, an exceptionally beautiful cow.
I know, but the cow wouldn't give milk, so you sold him.
So we sold him. You know, that gag is almost bad enough to deduct from my income tax, if I made any income. Look, this cow was different. It had the St. Vitus dance, and it didn't give milk.
It didn't give milk?
No, it gave butter. We now change sides, and Twerp is defending the left goal. It's a beautiful day here in the Coliseum, all strewn with picturesque popcorn sacks and the remnants of hamburger sandwiches.
Wait a minute, Needle Nose. I saw that cow, and it didn't look like it had St. Vitus dance when I saw it.
No, well, it was probably sitting that one out. You better play loud, Jimmy, but loud, but definitely loud.